With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I like the sound of my own voice, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, the bitch is back. Stone cold sober, as a matter of fact. It's football ramble time! Good people, it's me, Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's with me.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
A chocolate digestive has just been thrown.
By Pete Donaldson.
Yay. Showing up again.
A penis, was it? I was actually trying to land it on your head. It wasn't like an angry throw.
It broke and fell off.
Oh, that, hey. So you hop out the hot seat and you start behaving like that. Yeah. I'm free to run amok again.
Hobnob.
It's a dirty protest.
I'm so glad you're back, Marcus, because these lads have been really chewing me out.
They've been nasty to you, haven't they?
I'm not joking. I have made so many mistakes the 2 weeks you've been around.
It was only just one.
Half of them on this show.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that with the police. Right. Paul Hollywood.
everyone's favourite Hollywood superstar, in a way.
Great gaudy beard.
Yeah.
Silver fox.
Good tan.
Great tan.
I think he's got
Housewife's favourite.
I think he's got something of the night about him.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. Is that negative or positive?
Why did the baker have brown hands?
Because he needed a poo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For some reason, whenever I see poor Hollywood, I'm reminded of that joke.
What, he's into...
No, I don't think that...
Coprophilia.
It's just one of a number of things he could get up to at night, is that what you're saying?
He's got potential to do so.
Because the night belongs to Hollywood.
I'm a huge fan of...
Imagine him singing that in his car on his way home.
I like the Night Baker.
And those Hollywood nights.
I like Baker Bake Off as a show, but... I bloody don't. I've actually just heard this movie to Channel 4.
Really?
Yeah. Channel 4 have taken the rights.
Is that correct, is it? My
Part
goodness.
Of the press.
Well, Paul Hollywood, I mean, he's not short of a job because he's going to host a new TV show about cars.
That will be terrible. I will not be watching
so
that.
So Partridge. So wonderfully
is he
Partridge.
The cars?
Is he baking?
That'd be interesting.
Has he got like a little
stuff on the car?
A little cookie oven that connects to a little 12-volt pot on the cigarette lighter.
Maybe it's one of those ones where you know how people can, with the car engine when it's quite hot and they'll...
Fry an egg on it.
Exactly, that's just it. Foods that you can cook or fry in a car.
It's the most Alan Partridge move since James Martin finished on Saturday Kitchen to do a live theatre tour called Plates, Makes and Automobiles. Wow. Don't ask me anything about it, didn't go.
Yeah. I hate
sold that very quickly.
The middle class, even though I am a member of it.
Yeah.
But you're bringing it down from the inside.
Yeah.
Good man.
Anarchy.
If you are from outside the UK, do bear with us. We'll talk about the Premier League in a very short while. What TV vehicle would you give to somebody from the world of football, if you could, Jim?
I would like to see Raheem Sterling presenting a show called Pounds Sterling, where he took members of the public around boot sales, much like the sort of antique shows that you see on TV already. No, they don't pound him, but what they do is they look to him for advice on how much they should spend on each thing. So there'll be like a sort of vintage-looking teapot from, say, the 1950s, and he'll go, 10 million quid? And they'll be like, that seems a lot, Raheem. 5 million. Still high. 500 grand? Do you really mean that? I don't know! He'll learn the value of money, and that'll be a valuable lesson to the people watching at home.
And maybe you throw in like a statue of Michael Jackson in with a deal.
Yeah.
So they could have
15
that.
Million.
There's no value in the market.
No,
money's gone crazy.
Yeah. Oh. He won't even know what it is.
People keep giving me pictures of the Queen. What's going on?
And then at the end, does he play for Sterling Albion?
Why not?
Yeah.
Another Sterling.
I don't think it's going to get commissioned, so you can throw that in.
Nothing we touch gets commissioned.
God bless the internet.
Yeah.
Luke?
I'd like to go with a martial arts show weekly, hosted by Zlatan.
I thought you were going to say Anthony Martial.
Oh, no, I've missed the trick. I have to say martial arts because I can't remember the honorary black belt that Zlatan's got.
Taekwondo? It's jiu-jitsu.
Okay, so that.
How'd you get an honorary...
Exactly.
We don't
know. That's the brilliant thing about it.
We talked about this before, we're not sure.
Yeah, well I want
so
answers.
Anyway, people come onto the show, maybe say four of them. They do a series of martial arts themed challenges.
Yes.
And the winner at the end gets to fight Zlatan, who basically just pounds him into dust. And then that happens every week.
And then it happens every week. Yeah. Much like the Premier League.
Well,
it happens every week. Every week.
This show's essentially the same every week, so that's all right. Why not?
It was an international break last week.
It's true.
Mixing it up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they do. It's
on an international break, and he gets people from all over the world and pounds them into dust. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
I'll adapt it. It's adaptable as a format.
Peter.
I'll level with you. I've gone for wordplay.
That's fine. Okay.
But you hate that.
Patrick Bergerac. The Czech midfielder solves crimes perpetrated by the Jersey international football team.
Okay.
Or, going back to the Great British Bake Off, the Great Norwegian Backer Off.
Yeah, Eric Backer's involved.
The ex-Leeds United footballer makes wonderful pies, cakes and trifles and then consumes them using New Zealand international Jacob Spoonley.
Right, by the way, normally I don't let you behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, but I feel like I have to here.
What?
I wanted to do a question based on the singer from, what's it, Black Lace.
He's the
sung Agadoo, and he's in prison, and he led a conga reel, apparently, in prison, 60 people long, he reckoned, singing Agadoo.
Sorry, the conga eel?
That's what it is, a conga line.
That's contraband, mate.
I think he said reel, to be fair to him. Right. Conga line's fine, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. I did say that, Luke, definitely. don't rewind. And Pete, you said our younger listeners might not get Agadoo.
Yep.
Bergerac.
There's actually a Bergerac museum on the island of Jersey.
Is it?
People who've gone to Jersey will know who Bergerac is.
And when
you're
I said,
more old.
And when I said outside the UK, you thought, ah, Jersey's outside the UK. Yeah. I'll get him on this one.
Outside the Isles.
I also like the way Pete's thought to himself, I think I'll nail that tricky Jersey-based audience tonight. They all know who Bergerac is.
Exactly.
At least about 10 of them.
We can hide our money in
followers of the New Zealand international team.
It's a tax haven. We can hide our money there.
Yeah, we don't have any money.
£3.
Because of answers like that.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I thought, you all want me to say his name. I thought, you know, it's a programme called Sven on Men.
Why?
Sven on Men.
Wordplay, mate.
No, it's not.
Did you just say boy play?
Is he talking about men or is he just rolling around on them?
Yeah.
It's got a bit Red Shoe Diaries.
But I settled on Roy's Toys and Roy Hodgson.
Even worse, Marcus.
That's after the watershed, presumably, that one.
I don't want to see anything going into him.
It's not
or
even
out.
A pun on anything.
No,
it's no. not.
He's calling it wordplay, but it's not.
No, it's rhyming, isn't it?
He's just putting words together.
Two three letter words together.
I'm trying to play my way back onto the show.
Yeah. How's that going for you? Yeah,
the tweets will be rolling in. Just talking about the latest, you know, what's on the market. For toys.
Should we do probably that? Should we
do probably that?
I think you might have to stay behind and do that extra 10 minutes of presenting on your own.
You're a bit ring rusty.
All right. How much
seawater did you drink in Lisbon?
It's an awful lot.
Very good for the skin.
Not good for the brain, though. Yeah. Jim's got the points.
Well done, Jim.
Well done, Jim.
Yeah,
well done,
Jim. If I'm in doubt, I give Jim the points.
Yeah, no.
Oh, what?
I think we're
that completely devalues it.
Jim, you should be happy. You're like the James Milner of the points.
There's me thinking I didn't think it could be divided anymore.
Jim rings his mum every week to say whether he's won or not.
Yeah. She's very proud of him.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell her this, though. It'll break her world.
No. Yeah.
Break her world. World breaker, Jim Campbell.
I can't believe Bergerac's not got the points there.
Yeah, I know.
It works better written down, that one.
I don't
it?
Enjoy puns, but I'm the master of them.
No, you don't enjoy puns, but when you've got nothing else in your locker, you'll happily bring them out because you're a hypocrite.
I was doing a radio show, so up yours.
Well done.
We argued for most of the afternoon on ideas for the opening question anyway.
All right, that's enough behind the curtain.
Yeah. You brought us behind the curtain.
Right,
now let's have a wrestle.
Let's go to the Premier League. There was a big wrestling match in Manchester. Although Pep and Jose, the police were worried, weren't they, that they were going to fight?
The fighting was going on at West Ham.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
In between their own fans.
Yeah.
Well, and the Watford ones.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah.
Oh, there's all kinds of ruckuses.
Yeah,
hang on a minute.
Okay.
The headline fighting was between West Ham fans.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Because some wanted to stand and some wanted to sit.
Well, that is a
problem. Apparently the stewarding was substandard.
Yeah.
Not
and
my
it
words.
Has been for a while, and I imagine...
The words of the Daily Mirror.
Because it's a new stadium, I imagine they have got problems in that direction, but they need to sort them out quickly because you shouldn't be standing at a Premier League ground, and that's the rules.
Can of worms.
Yeah.
Can of worms.
Can of worms.
Trying to see you get yourself out of that one with a pun.
What do you mean? Well, you get fined. Clubs get fined. Newcastle United got fined almost every week because they had fans who would always stand up.
That's why they went down to the Championship, so they could stand. Manchester City, they're playing like Barcelona.
Mm. I actually thought they did look like Barcelona at times. They were fantastic in the first half.
It's quite saucy to see in the Premier League, isn't it?
I enjoyed it. I thought Kevin De Bruyne was fantastic.
Oh, the take for the his goal was just absolutely magnificent. Yeah. It's one of those ones where every time you see it on the replay, it's
there were some proper gif-able moments over the weekend. Yeah.
What I found funny, though, is that obviously Pep's setting them up very well. They're keeping the ball for the first sort of 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, they really dominated.
They did. But the goal was a bit of a long ball, wasn't it? And then the two goals actually Manchester City scored. Mourinho look at that and think, well, how on earth did we concede them?
Jim and I did a video about the best hair on display at the Manchester Derby.
Yes.
And we talked about Daley Blind being an emotionally powerful man. He let himself down, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He was sort of arguably at fault for both goals. Mm. He just didn't see De Bruyne coming, didn't he? He looked... I guess the word is bamboozled after he took the ball away.
You described De Bruyne as a ghost or something.
A baby ginger ghost who's scared of himself, wasn't it? Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Well, he ghosted in.
He did. The second goal that they scored, I couldn't understand why De Gea didn't try and save that.
Yeah, it was. I guess Iheanacho did hit it with some pace. I mean, it wasn't just attacking, was it?
No, it's De Bruyne.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the De Bruyne first shot off the post. Because it sort of went on the ground quite close to De Gea. Mm. I know it curled a little bit, but De Gea was rooted to the spot.
Going wide and just got it wrong.
Yeah. It's a bit of an error, though.
It's not what a goalkeeper once asked of them, is it? If you say, why didn't you try and save that?
It's not even the worst goalkeeping error of the game. No. Let alone the weekend.
Caballero.
Yeah.
Cavaliero.
Bravo. They couldn't Bravo. Have. They couldn't have.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I was
Are you
trying
drunk?
To. I think so.
Cavalier work.
Yeah. Bravo.
Yeah.
My goodness. Claudio. What? I mean that. That he was. He looked good with his feet at times, and you thought, actually, this guy's a flipping liability.
Mm. Mm. And then, I mean, could they have expected Zlatan to do that? It was a really nice kind of
lovely finish, great finish. Yeah. Lovely technique. Yeah.
It was good.
But instinctive still, volley.
He had another one though, didn't he? Well, he had a few, didn't he? Where he looked a little like he was basically playing with his feet unnecessarily. There was a lot in the press about how Bravo had come in over Hart because he was particularly good with his feet, and Guardiola likes his goalkeeper to play like that. And it seemed like he was really, really overstretching on trying to show that that was the case.
And then all the highlights of the Torino game, which we'll come on to later, all focused on Joe Hart with his feet.
Yeah. He played more passes with his feet than he ever has, I think, in the past couple of seasons.
But I love the Bravo situation because when he came out and made the mistake, it was John Stones who was in the way. Yeah. And you saw in the replay Claudio Bravo screaming goalkeeper. But it was almost like John Stones was like, no, they always tell me I can't do the bread and butter stuff properly. I'll stay here. Yeah. I'm going to head of this ball. Have you looked? Oh, he has gone in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he wouldn't get out of the way. He just would not clear out the way.
Did we think Bravo's performance was brilliant?
I understand why Guardiola had to protect his player,
but he
went over the top.
Yes, he said it was one of the best performances he's ever seen.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Oh, I absolutely love it. That's up there with, that's just basically a Wenger, well, I did not see it.
Yeah, it's like, I can imagine if Guardiola spent his whole time like managing in League Two.
Yeah.
Then fine, it might well be, but you've come from some pretty big clubs.
But you
used to manage Manuel Neuer.
But it's a bit like, it's essentially, it's like football propaganda. It's like, well, I've won the Champions League. I've done this. That great Barcelona side. That was one of the best performances I've ever seen. But, the interviewer must sort of think, he's got a lot.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, if Guardiola, I'll give him one. I'll give him that one.
Yeah, you've had your one.
it's also kind of the ilk of the interview going, so Claudio Bravo had a difficult afternoon. It's kind of like Pep then going, well, I hear that your mum had a difficult afternoon. It's an absurd thing to say in the context.
He should have said something like, I was really proud of how he bounced back from the mistake that was made. It's a difficult environment for him to make his debut, in which it was. It was a pressure cooker atmosphere.
All right, Pep Guardiola's conscience. Well, love it. Love this. Should Pep Guardiola do next week?
Pep who?
Pep Guardiola.
It's easy for you to say.
Pep Guidolin.
It's easy for you to say.
Pep Girac.
Poit Donaldson. But he should have just said, the fact that what I'm trying to get at is the fact that he went so over the top is completely undermined it, because everyone's like, you what, mate?
It's actually drawn more focus onto it.
The one thing that Bravo could have done, actually, which he sort of went halfway towards doing, was have sorted out Big Sam and broken Wayne Rooney's leg. he tried his best. He did try his best.
Well, to be fair to Joe Hart, the FAB mentioned,
do you mean Claudio Bravo?
I mean John Hart.
Yeah.
To be fair to him, he probably thought to himself, I'd better make a mistake here just to make sure that they don't miss me too much and takes the pressure off.
I don't think he did mean that.
Do you not?
No.
Oh, I thought he was that much of a club man.
Yeah, he might well be. John Hart might be. Joe Hart, not so much.
Who's Sonny Bravia?
he's yet to join the league.
Okay, How big's his telly?
How big's his telly?
But Manchester City, they won.
They certainly did.
Mourinho.
United took it down to the trenches in the second half.
Of course
they did. They wouldn't allow them to play in the same way because they were just camped in the United half at points in the first half. But it was interesting, wasn't it, to see how that kind of game gets disrupted.
I'm surprised they managed to let them. Well, I say let them. I mean, it's flipping difficult if you've got a side like Manchester City coming at you and with Pep Guardiola in charge. But I just thought to myself that Manchester United would have taken it down to the trenches from minute one.
Yeah.
And maybe they just couldn't get near them. I don't know.
I think he probably just chose the wrong team to do that because he insists on playing Rooney behind Zlatan. He could have just played Pogba behind Zlatan and slotted in Herrera or Schneiderlin next to Fellaini. But then, of course,
he's not going to drop Rooney.
Well, quite. And that's the problem. See, Rooney becoming a problem wherever he goes. I think if they had played Pogba closer to Zlatan, Pogba was anonymous, but partly because he was played sort of out of position, what he was asked to do. If he had been a bit closer to Zlatan, he wouldn't have been as isolated. Yeah. But then I guess he had so much concentration on the fact that he wanted to stop Guardiola that that's basically why he did it. But I just wanted to say, Lord Ramble pointed out something interesting before the game. It sort of went under the radar about the Pep Mourinho rivalry. And it was brilliant because a journalist put to Guardiola apparently that great sporting rivalries, motorsport, tennis and boxing were mentioned, often inspire participants to even greater heights. And Guardiola said, I'm sorry, but I cannot agree. You may be right in general, but the thing about Jose and myself is that we don't play. The game belongs to the players, not the managers. And he went off on about how it's really important to be a player. Of course, Mourinho never was a player.
Yeah.
And it slipped under the radar. Amazing dig, because it's a really subtle dig. Mourinho would have been gutted about that.
And there's no comeback.
There's nothing he can do. He can't turn the clock back and have been a great player.
Yeah.
But it was spoken like a real great player. Like I'm comfortable with my playing career. Thank you very much. Yeah. I've had that. Time's for the players
I've
now.
Succeeded in that as well.
Yeah. The time now is for the players. Coincidentally, something that Jose has never had the pleasure of ever being. So.
I was better friends with Bobby Robson too.
Yeah. Well, they say they're pals, but he used to slag him off all the time.
Well, Mr. Guardiola, have you ever been a great fan? Like Mourinho. That's what he was doing. Do you know what I mean? Oh, well, I've been up in the stands while you were down there. You can't see it from a removed position like I can.
You imagine with Guardiola, but, you know, and I've never been like a pretty good translator like he has. So, you know, we've all got our own strengths. Yeah.
Although I'm speaking in another language, so it looks like I'm doing okay at that as well.
Oh, I've accidentally dropped my Champions League winner's medal as a player out of my pocket.
Yeah. Oh, there's the one as a manager.
Yeah. Before we move on from the Manchester derby, I have to say, last week I made a bit of an error.
Ooh. Corrections and clarifications. Welcome return.
We've had some stinkers this season, to be fair.
We've been
duped a few times.
You
as well.
Say that, but it's mostly me. Yeah. I've had to overstretch because other people aren't providing the good chat. AKA the corrections and clarifications. I said it was reported in the newspapers this week that Claudio Bravo become the joint shortest.
Who's Claudio Bravo?
No, the one you must have called.
Okay.
He's become the joint shortest goalkeeper in the Premier League.
Yes.
Which isn't true. It isn't actually true because David Ospina is shorter than him, and he still plays for Arsenal, right, Jim? So that's not true anyway.
And then if you up them up like a Russian doll, there's an even smaller one inside them.
Exactly. But I actually said there's never been a goalkeeper in the Premier League to be shorter than him. And then I got a load of basically emails and tweets saying all these different goalkeepers. So if you're interested, Clive Baker, I think as far as we can work out, who was a goalkeeper for Ipswich in the 90s.
Was 4'2".
You say that, Pete. He towered over you. 5'9".
By 1 inch.
Still taller, mate.
I could put something in my shoe and be the same, mate.
I did enjoy this chat last time
anyone
round.
Could do that with any height.
I did, to be fair, Pete, that's like two Marcuses. I find it funny when Pete said, Marcus thinks he's like 5'. Why would I lie about my height? You can see me.
I just think the conceit is that you're not there so I can, you know, take the mick. I've been a naughty boy, aren't I?
Stop making it all about yourself.
All right.
Anyway, loads of people that gave me loads of goalkeepers were shorter than Claudio Bravo. But as far as I can make out, Clive Baker, the Ipswich goalkeeper from the 90s, is the shortest to have ever played in the Premier League. If you've got any advances on that, then by all means get involved.
The older they get, who's the oldest and shortest, because they then would get shorter.
Heel over, yeah. Well, this escalated on Twitter, Pete, into trying to find the tallest Ramble listener on Twitter with photographic evidence. And I think we got to about 6'7". The guy who measured himself, it looked like it was in... like that Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone else said, well, we can't see your feet, you might be standing on the box. So it's a can of worms.
Yeah.
The point is, Claudio Bravo isn't, in fact, the shortest goalkeeper to have ever played in the Premier League.
Has Clive Baker ever needed a poo?
I don't.
That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know.
Who knows?
More Premier League chat after this.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. This is the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. And this is the Football Ramble.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be with you once again. Liverpool beat Leicester City 4-1. Oh, dear. Those Foxes are getting tamed,
they
Jim.
They look a different team, don't they, from last season. They lost twice already. And they only lost three games last season. It's
4-1.
Liverpool are a team of two halves, aren't they? Very, very good going forward. Look a little bit suspect at the back. That said, I mean, the Vardy goal was essentially came from a defensive error, much similar to the in principle, I guess, to the Daley Blind one for Man United. But Liverpool don't look great at the back. What they look like to me, and I'm happy to be shot down later in the season, they look like an entertaining team, not a serious title challenging team at this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I mean, you know, 4-1 against the champions, lest we forget.
It's fantastic.
It's decent. Firmino was looking decent. And Sturridge as well, in among the assists and whatnot.
Yes. We talked last week about an Anfield main stand bounce.
Yes.
It manifested itself, didn't it? Hashtag main stand bounce. was a hashtag not
hashtag
seen.
Engineering fault.
Yeah.
Although I did enjoy, was it Lucas who set up Jamie Vardy quite beautifully.
It was a great assist.
It was such a weird one because it wasn't like you know, we'll come on to Chelsea versus Swansea. It wasn't like he robbed the defender or he got caught on his feet. He just squared it superbly. Yeah. Vardy was like, cheers. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. It's like over the park.
Does that count?
Dinner's in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting
dark.
Yeah, whatever. See you later. Yeah. I've got a gripe. if you want to hear it.
Oh, God. Oh. It's the Jim's gripe.
Jim's gripe. It's the sheer amount of people who say Firmino rather than Firmino.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's annoying.
And the commentator on Match of the Day did it with Berahino. Where's that come from?
He's trying to make it a bit more exotic, put a few million on his transfer. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're talking about people mispronouncing players' names, I'll leave you to it.
Santi Cazorla.
Some of them, for some reason, some are very common, very popular.
But there are some that, Gundogan.
Yeah, I said Gundogan last week.
Or Gundogan is perhaps the way you pronounce it, but you don't pronounce, it's different because it's Turkish. There's all sorts of ones, you see.
Yeah. It's a tricky one.
There was a commentator years ago, remember Alan Boxic?
Yes.
And he kept referring to Alan Boxic.
Yeah. And didn't Clive Tilsley, was it Clive Tilsley, you always used to have a real problem with Solskjaer? He used to say Solskjaer or something like that. He used to really roll it around.
Well,
in his
I don't know.
Mouth.
And Solskjaer has done it.
Maybe someone else.
I think footballers do. It does take a season for their name to bed in. If it's just one we've never had before, I think it needs to be standardised, but not standardised by anyone professionally. Just idiot commentators who don't know their stuff.
Then you get ones that change.
The words of Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, but then you get ones that change because it was always
Genius.
It was always Jermaine Jenas, and then it became Genus. All of a sudden, it was almost like then Andy Cole became
Andrew Cole. That was a rebrand, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
a rebadge, you fool.
Respect it. Yeah.
sometimes Claudio Bravo is actually pronounced Willy Caballero.
I know, Jim. No one believes this.
But wasn't isn't Good Johnson effectively Good Thompson or something like that? It's like the way they say they're Jays or something. It's weird.
There
needs to be a panel to sort this off.
You've been to Iceland, Peter.
I have, yeah.
You know, it sounds like the answer. Yeah,
he went to the penis museum, didn't he? He's not going to find out.
I set off a rumour at the penis museum. Yeah. So that's what I did.
And it's a very interesting way of referring to a serious sexual assault.
And you set off an alarm, didn't you?
A few weeks ago, when we were talking about fictional managers, remember that question? I said David Moez, as in the champagne Moët.
It's Moët.
It's actually Moët, it's the German part of it, isn't it? It's a German-French company, I believe.
Moët. Clarifications and corrections for the
booze time.
It's a strange territory,
If you want to continue to bang the clarifications and corrections drum, I'm happy with that, but there'll be nothing else in the show.
We're still on my gripe at the moment.
Firmino, it's not acceptable. It doesn't need to be done.
Stop doing it.
Any more gripes, Jim?
Just that one this week.
Okay.
More next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Arsenal won just about. Chelsea, though, they didn't win. We said, didn't we, at the start of the season, as sure a lot of other people said, if Diego Costa can click with Conte, he's on for a big season.
He's clicking.
He's
thus far.
He is.
He's clipping other defenders' heels.
Well, perhaps unlucky not to get that penalty, Diego Costa, when the keeper came out. There was a touching of knees.
I'm terrified to make him my captain in fantasy football.
He's a red card. As soon as you do that, it's a red card.
I read earlier, and again, this will be another one for the corrections next week if it's wrong. I read earlier that he's never been sent off for Chelsea in a league game.
Diego Costa?
In a league game.
That's madness.
I would have been in a league.
Yeah, but it's still surprising.
That's the body of his work, though, isn't it?
What about the League Cup?
That doesn't count, does it?
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, fair enough, but only Koscielny bettered him in the overhead kick stakes.
We need to have a moratorium on overhead kicks, really. Because people don't know if it's dangerous play or not, and it's sort of annoying me a bit. It's either dangerous play or it isn't. And sometimes it appears to be that the law is given for dangerous play if there's another player around them, which to me seems a little bit arbitrary.
I think the idea of disallowing an overhead kick for anything is just fundamentally
wrong. I agree. I think people should take their chances and just get on with it. But there seems to be a bit of confusion around it, is what I'm saying.
There's enough confusion, isn't there?
If someone goes up for an overhead kick, normally it doesn't pay off.
He could have taken a header, and most of the time you could take a header, but if you're too far out, you can't really.
And
he had
his back to goal as well.
Yeah, so
cannon in off the defender.
So if you do a header, you haven't got enough power on it, and is an overhead kick, if you can execute it well enough, a bit of a coward's way out, effectively.
You know
you're not going to score a goal with the header.
Best case scenario, I'll score with this. Worst case scenario, I'm going to knock out a defender.
Yeah.
And it's
David Batty, 98, was it? When he kicked that prayer in the face? One of my favourite moments in football.
John Terry getting one from Abu Dhabi right in the face? It wasn't an overhead kick, but I remember that. Did you see that Gary Cahill, I watched this today, dedicated almost four full minutes to complaining about the fact that there wasn't a foul given on him?
No, it's fair enough, though. People complain that you don't get enough passion from footballers, and he spoke very eloquently.
Jim's had his gripe. Cahill's had his gripe.
Yeah, yes, it's true. But Cahill was like, he said... You could have seen that from the moon, he said.
Yeah.
He said something like, you could see it from the moon or Rose Ed.
He scaled down.
Where'd you go from there?
He should have built up to the moon. Not gone the other way down.
Absolutely. But it was Leroy Fer, wasn't it? The Ferminator.
Yeah.
He took him out and got his third goal of the season. I mean, he's normally the guy that relegates teams. Is he turning it around?
He still might be.
He could have had his third yellow card first half. He was charged around like a lunatic.
What's happening to you?
What?
That's another one.
He likes wordplay now.
Yeah.
It's now fashionable. Pete likes it.
You see?
I'm the minstrel of the syllable.
Yeah. Ah. Ooh.
It's like Japanese things.
But I couldn't believe it. When Chelsea, they won 1-0 up, they were playing good football, and then Swansea turned it around, and you thought, Conte's going to be angry, isn't he? Mm. Yeah, that man is fuming. I'd love to see him giving a half-time team talk when his team are down and they're playing badly, because it would be absolute fireworks, sure.
Be up there with Souness.
Well,
Souness would be more sinister, brooding, but he would snap you into pieces when you get older.
I imagine that Conte probably just deliberately keeps things in the dressing room to kick. Just beach balls and
reserve players.
And, yeah, just players, you know, all kind of things.
He thinks reserve players are for. Yeah.
Those metal men you set up to practice free kicks.
Yeah.
Just knocking seven bells out of them.
Pictures of each player. But I thought, you know, Chelsea were hard done by, really, because that was a foul on Cahill.
It was.
No doubt.
Was.
And they should have won the game. Obviously, they got themselves a point in the end. But Chelsea, they're looking good, Jim.
It would have been a really good win. It would have been a good win for Guilin as well, because basically his system wasn't working at the beginning. Yeah. He started with three, took Neil Taylor off, and then they went ahead from that. And
Taylor wasn't happy, was he?
No, well, understandably, you get hooked in the first half. It's not ideal, is it?
I find it funny when people say hooked, because I don't know if it's the same down here, but in Scotland, to hook someone's to punch someone.
It's the same, yeah.
Oh, is it the same?
Yeah, but it has different meanings.
Well, why aren't you laughing?
I've heard people call it the shepherds. Get the shepherds.
Shepherd's crook. Stick, yeah.
Shepherd's crook. The stick. Wrong with stick, hook,
it's a bendy stick, isn't it?
Have you forgotten how to do them again?
I've got the shepherds. What? You've got a stick?
Yeah.
I don't even know why have they got a bend in their stick anyway?
To hold it.
To hold what?
And then to hook the sheep.
Oh, yeah, of course. That makes sense.
Shepherds.
Shepherds unit. If there are any shepherds listening.
And to think, up until that point, I thought that was fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah.
By hook or by crook.
Exactly.
There you go, mate. Think of a pun for that.
There you go.
There you are.
Did any of you see Chris Sutton on Match of the Day 2?
Hang on, what's the difference between a crook and a hook, then? Steady, guys. Before we move on.
As far as I understand,
a crook is a hook.
In a way, a crook is a kink in a piece of wood, isn't
Clarify
it?
The crook.
The what?
A crook. Who's Garth Crooks?
That's his nickname, Shepherds.
If anyone deserves the crook, it's Garth Crooks.
I think we can all agree with that. A crook will often use a hook to escape.
Right, okay.
That's all you need to know.
Speaking of Garth Crooks, did you see that the Metro gave Danny Rose a Player of the Week?
Really?
He got named the Team of the Week and he wasn't even in the squad.
Wow. Someone's a fan.
Yeah. Finally hitting his straps. Didn't even play.
Do you get the feeling that kind of
30 seconds of research?
That's a dig, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the one part of the newspaper that's got resources.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They've got a bit of money. Goodness me.
Where are we?
Did any of you see Chris Sutton on Match of the Day?
No, sorry.
I did.
He's like
yeah.
a different man. He's become like a sort of home county's grump, just like complaining about local parking restrictions on his allotment to anyone that walks past.
He's an absolute positivity vacuum, that man.
It's incredible. The amount of very, very specific criticism he was digging out to people or giving out to people, like naming them, just saying that X, Y, and Z should be, should hold their heads in shame now, that sort of thing.
He runs Danny Mills very, very close. When you hear him punting on Five Live, which he does a lot, it's a lot like what I imagine a black hole would sound like.
He would, but you're right, Jim, on the theme of what you're saying, he would pore over the bylaws and go, that's still actionable, to use a Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
I think he's been like that on the radio for a little while.
He has, yeah.
You know. He makes me sad.
So the BBC have rewarded him with a Match of the Day 2 gig, so more power to their elbows.
Yeah, they are. West Ham were beaten 4-2 at home.
I love
to Watford.
By Watford and each other.
Antonio loves a header, doesn't he?
He does.
Was it Troy Deeney who said that when Watford were 2-0 down? I think it was Troy Deeney because he's captain, isn't he?
Yeah.
He scored a lovely goal, Deeney.
Yeah, he said that, when West Ham started bringing out all these little flicks and tricks and stuff, I thought, they're taking the mickey out of us here. They're taking liberties. We need to do something about it. And they went on to win 4-2.
Yeah,
that's great.
He said that he just felt they were always going to win that game. And he saw at some point during the game that it was only going to be them that won it. I love that confidence, especially from a captain.
I think, honestly, Deeney's a brilliant player. And I think that he should start for England. Why not give him a go? No, I think he's a brilliant player. And I thought there was talk of him going to Everton, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Or Leicester.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, that's a strange one. Yeah, because he's obviously not very pacey. And at the time, Leicester, when they were going for the league, playing on the break and whatnot with a bit of pace up front. But
I think with Deeney, I think it's good that he plays for Watford because he's going to start every game. The team, you know, often the tactics and whatnot, well, they certainly were under the previous manager based around him. We'll see as the season progresses what Big Walter's going to do. But if he did go away from Watford, would he become one of those players who actually just scores sort of seven goals?
I think he would be. I think he'd be like a textbook sort of striker that West Brom would buy.
Yeah.
And you say he'd probably contribute 6 or 7 goals a season.
So for selfish reasons, and I'm sure Watford fans
but he's got
agree,
a nice understanding of Igalo, hasn't
he certainly does, and of course Igalo scored as well because he hadn't scored.
Capo scored as well again.
He loves it. Yeah, his traditional roofed goal.
Yeah,
he loves a bit of that.
Troy Deeney is quite good friends with Anthony Joshua, the boxer.
Oh yeah,
and there was a clip of them both taking on one of those boxing machines that you see in pubs,
right,
that raggy lads use.
Yeah,
and he got really close to beating Anthony Joshua's score.
Oh no, Dale,
it's a bit worrying.
There's absolutely no way Joshua's punching it at even 10% of his power.
Yeah,
that multi-million-pound fight you got in November. Do you know the funfair just near Watford? Yeah. I've broken my hands. You know that boxers, part of the reason that boxers have to strap their hands up because if they throw punches without the straps on, yeah, they break their knuckles.
Really?
So he can't. Wow. Punch, he can't, because they punch.
I mean, I would usually count out your information about boxing, but you genuinely thought that the iron that the trainer uses was hot.
Yeah. What's your point?
Well, it's not. It's cold because it's to reduce swelling.
I learnt a fact today, actually.
That you're going
to
love.
When Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas, in the biggest upset in boxing history, Mike Tyson's team took the fight so lightly, they didn't even take ice or that iron into the corner with them.
Oh, wow.
So when it started to go a bit wrong, they were using ice cubes they hastily grabbed from the bar, wrapped in rubber gloves, pushed onto his cheeks, and they were using a chain they had frozen in the ice to push his bruises out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I mean, it's a brutal business, the fight game.
Always prepared.
Sound about as prepared as us.
Yeah. But going on about the Anthony Joshua stuff, I think Deeney, he looks tasty, doesn't he? He could throw a punch.
Aren't they from the same town? Because Joshua's from Watford, I think. He's definitely from up there, yeah.
Yeah, but Deeney's not from Watford.
Yeah, he's maybe it's coincidental.
Can we talk about Payet's Rabona, please?
Yes, we can.
It was magnificent.
Yeah, that was class.
Giffable moment.
Yeah. I found it quite funny. Was it Jonathan Pearce who was commentating on this game? And when Hollibas scored, I think, the fourth Watford goal, was it? He said, Hollibas of all people! And I checked it. He scored over 40 league goals in his career.
Yeah, I wondered about
that. He's not like Des Walker.
It always seems weird when a player gets dug out for not scoring enough goals.
I suppose he's a defender is it just caught up in the moment.
Yeah, but these days, and I'm going to be proved wrong here on social media, obviously, but these days it seems to me like all defenders sort of get a goal here and there these days.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I'm sure you used to hear a lot more often of defenders you hadn't
getting
scored
the first goal in 20 years or something. Yeah.
I
think, Des Walker's a great example. I think he only scored one goal in his whole career.
John Jensen scored once for Arsenal. I love that.
But Jensen scored in the European
final in Euro 92, didn't he?
Save it for the big occasion.
Euro
final and at home to QPR, I think it was.
You're going to ration them.
Although Walker's was a roofed one. It was quite a nice one, actually. You see? There you are, sports fans. Spurs 4, Stoke 0. Let's move on.
Spurs were very, very good.
Spurs
were as good as Stoke were bad.
Yeah. Spurs, they quite like an away trip to Stoke, unlike their North London rivals. But Son, was it Son?
He's the player we were laughing at last week.
Yeah, because you said he stayed
He took
home.
A week off. He didn't play in his international against Cambodia, was it? No, it was China, wasn't it?
Yeah. Whatever it is.
A load of people in the highlights, I've just said this, I've summed up nicely from Jimmy Reds, who says, Heung-min Son's man of the match performance against a Stoke team after you boys talking trash about him staying back at the Lane to earn his place in the first team. Mm. It genuinely...
I don't think I was talking trash, I don't care strongly either way.
Jimmy Reds is bristling. He's bristling.
Jimmy, I was in the same position as you.
An angry Spurs fan.
I was in the stands.
Somebody let the spam filter.
I was in the stands watching with Jimmy and everybody else, so my hands are clean with this.
Oh, very, very good.
Thank you.
Spurs look very, very good, and they've obviously got their best outfield player to come back still. Listen to this, Stoke are in real trouble. They slipped under the radar, at least on this show, about how bad they are. I checked it out, just looked at their most recent results, and in the year 2016, Stoke have conceded three or more in a game 8 times.
Ooh, that's bad.
So when they lose, they lose big.
Yeah. Well, they had a pretty poor start last season as well. But that obviously that raises questions about Hughes' ability to get a team up and running quickly enough. And the third goal, Dele Alli's goal, which is a really really tidy finish, but that came from a Stoke corner, didn't it?
You can't
be getting thrashed at home.
No,
Hughes is going to be in trouble there.
I loved their son's first goal. Lovely finish. Took it so early. Oh, keep it. Yeah. Shea Given didn't have a very good game, and obviously his best years are behind him. And we know that Jack Butland would be playing if he were fit, but
he might have shrunk.
He could have done
below that height.
Shea Given's never been the tallest, has he?
No,
he's never been the tallest anyway.
Lad.
Yeah,
did that serve against Zidane, didn't he?
When I was doing that goalkeeper research, Georgi Campos came up, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's listed as being 5'9". But a couple of sources were saying, actually, that was bumped up a bit. And he was actually 5'6".
He didn't look.
5'6"?
That's crazy.
My mum's 5'6". Literally 5'6".
Why are you measuring your mum?
Well, I just know how tall my mum is.
I don't know how tall my mum is.
Does anybody else in this room know how tall their mum is?
I could guess pretty accurately.
We're here for the annual measuring. Yeah. What a Christmas thing to do.
Do you put a little mark on the door frame?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, mum's getting smaller.
Listen, Pete.
She'll soon get that little door off me.
I'll take it a little seriously from you, but I haven't literally seen a picture of you making your mum stance on a sex shop so you can take photos of her. You can't deny it.
No.
He sent me the photo.
Roy's toys. I can't remember. I can't remember what was on the sign. Now it's like lube.
The thing that's confusing for me is you sent me that picture of your mum standing outside a sex shop that you obviously made her stand outside so you could take a photo. Yeah. But then I knew at the back of my mind your dad loves Photoshop, so I wondered what was going on there.
Yeah, it could have been anything, couldn't it? Really,
it was a mind bender. Any more questions about my mum's height?
I have no idea.
We didn't have any before you.
Okay, yeah. Any questions about my mum's height?
No, they've all been answered.
Is that lying down?
My dad's 6 foot.
Okay.
My dad's 6 foot.
Yeah. Right.
How do you feel about that?
What do you want me to say?
The same thing, really. I'm not going to fight your dad.
No. Not after last time.
He had to go on that machine.
His dad's harder than your dad.
Yeah.
Right? But Mark Hughes, he was showing his tough side, wasn't he, when he got sent to the stands?
Yeah, but it's all bluster, isn't it, now? This stage for Mark Hughes, he's under a lot of pressure.
He voted the Rambles' hardest manager in the Premier League.
Yes, but that doesn't mean he's any good at his job, does it?
But managers...
Well, go on, Peter.
Well, I just think managers are so skilled at like this kind of misdirection sort of thing. I genuinely think at one point we're going to see a post-match interview where someone just throws glitter at the camera and then runs off. There's just no way that sort of thing should be allowed.
But he's doing that because the very act of him doing that is the act of a manager under pressure.
Yeah.
And then sooner or later we'll start seeing the handshake things again, won't we?
We will.
Annoyed about that. But if you look at a lot of Stoke fans on Twitter after that game against Spurs, it seemed to me, I don't want to speak on their behalf, but it seemed to me they know Spurs are a good team. They know that it's no disgrace to lose to a team like Spurs. But as Jim touched on a second ago, the manner of how they lost at home and the fact that these big defeats are happening a lot would show signs for concern, I think. And he's still being backed in the transfer market. He's still brought a lot of his own kind of players in. He seems to be very clear on the type of football he wants to play, but it's not happening for
him. But that's not what we hated with Hughes, because Stoke have performed very well under him in the last couple of seasons. You know, they've had record finishes, have they not?
But they dropped off badly last season, did they not? And now they're bottom of the league.
Towards the end. Okay, yeah. I take those points, but if what Jim said is correct, they start poorly, or slowly, certainly, then I think it's maybe been a bit hasty.
Yeah, it's not beyond him to rescue it, is it?
They were playing Spurs, to be fair.
But I think the manner of the defeat, though.
But Butland to come back is a big player for them. It's not just about making saves and about all this other stuff. It's about the sort of buzz he gives the whole team, including the defence, and how he manages that area of the field. And Butland is obviously going to be very good at that.
Well, clearly, as Pete would say, he just needs to throw glitter at the problem.
Mm. Exactly. It never fails. Mm. Speaking of which, Alan Pardew. surely you're going to go Alan Pardew next.
You stole it from me.
Sorry, mate.
No, that's fine. Palace, a good win away to Middlesbrough. Benteke, he loves a header as well. Mm. And Ayala with...
Two cool headers.
Well, yeah, it was some lovely headers in the Premier League. We can all agree on that.
I love headers. I think people bemoan aerial football, but headers are just cool. Like, if I was as good at headers as those guys, I'd just be heading stuff all the time. Yeah. Like, in the supermarket,
but
I'd just be heading melons
around. You can do that if you want.
Yeah, well, I'd probably need to be a bit richer to do that.
You snapped a biscuit earlier on.
To waste them on heading them, they are. Like, sometimes, if you really want to, you can eat a packet of crisps or whatever in the supermarket and then pay for it with a packet at the end. I can't go to the checkout.
Leave your cupboard doors open. You'll header them a lot.
The crisp packet thing is, it always seems a bit cavalier to me to do that.
I'm not approving of it.
I'll take a great maximum. Take a grape. Maximum.
No, he means pay for it in the end.
Yeah, I know. But that's the
only
thing I'd eat.
We're going to get on your scales and go, oh, wait.
Leave it in your
mouth.
It will be a packet of seedless grapes that are like in an individual packet, so they're
not
on weight.
White or red?
White. Okay. Red is disgusting.
Okay. All right.
I want to try those new candy floss flavoured grapes. Everyone's been talking about.
That's what they are.
No.
Everyone's been talking about that.
Everyone, all the kids.
Everyone on the
Japanese internet forums.
I have been away.
Marcus now feels like he's been away for 1,000 years.
It was Earth all along. Oh no!
But I fit in though. Before we leave the Premier League,
I wanted to make a point about the Benteke goal.
Yeah,
I
was about to say his headers are cool.
Yeah. Headers are cool. Get that printed up. Let's wear it for the live show. Headers are cool.
Of course. You back there, and that is actually what I wanted to say. So, I was going to say that Middlesbrough obviously a big part of whether they stay up or not is going to be their work rate and how hard they work and how well they close down. The lack of closing down for Wilfried Zaha for that ball over to Benteke was absolutely scandalous. It really was. He had so much time and he managed to, and obviously he's got a real quality, so he managed to put it right on Benteke's head. If I was a Middlesbrough fan, that would be a cause for concern. That's what I wanted to
say.
They
were unlucky to not have a penalty for Scott Dan's handball as well. He hit it with his foot as well, but that doesn't cancel it out, does it?
No, it doesn't. Doesn't you can't say, right, we'll call it quits.
No.
So you can't do that.
When he calls for the ball, does he go, Dan?
Yeah, maybe.
So. Yeah, it could be.
What about Osimhen's handball against Manchester United? Did you think there was anything in that?
Well, and also on that, I thought the other one that they thought might have been a penalty when Bravo...
It was. That was a penalty for me.
Do you think? Yeah. I thought he got it, but I thought he was...
piled straight through him, though. That was excessive. All... It could have been a red card, though.
All ball, baby.
It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter in the end of the game. As you well know, Robbie Savage.
Yeah. The Osimhen one, I think... I think maybe it would have been a touch half.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so they should have had one.
I just didn't want it to go unsaid.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. But Palace, though, with Benteke, that's a great signing for them because the type of football they play, the type of players that they have with Zaha and tricky players and good players going forward, to have someone there who can finish off the moves, you'd think that surely Pardew is now arresting that slump.
Well,
the problem is, as we said,
his
consistency, isn't it? He took that goal really well with confidence and with sort of
aplomb.
Direct kind of decisiveness. And we just need to see more of that from him. He can be a really, really good player, but he's one of those players where the story about him is constantly, with the talent he's got, he should be performing better. But then you think, well, why are people projecting this talent onto him if he doesn't actually... do the job.
He feels like one of those players that people are going to be saying that, and then before we know it, he's going to be 29.
Yeah, it's like Adel Terat. It's like, is he actually good? Everyone says he's good. You see the occasional flash of brilliance, but there's no consistency there. Why do we think he's capable of constantly being at this brilliant best? Not everyone's like that.
Terat's, I think he's on Benfica's books now. They're just going to cut ties with him.
He's having a good time.
Yeah, it's lovely down there, believe me. Take it from me. Before we leave the Premier League, there were so many good goals, wasn't there? Callum Wilson, he deserves a mensch for his little flick.
Oh, that was great. Because he missed a good chance in the first half as well. So
he
did. Great for him to get
what about Stephen Defoe's goal? What a lovely turn that was in the halfway. And that was a real classy move.
That was very good. But Snodgrass denied them the win.
Snodders.
Fresh from his hat-trick for Scotland.
Yeah. Very good. His first goal against Malta, as we said, was a beauty of a cross.
Wonderful Premier League happenings. Yeah. We're going to leave the Premier League. We're going to go all the way down to League Two very quickly because Plymouth are top with 15 points, having won 5 in a row. But Portsmouth have won 4 in a row. Is a real collector's item. We've got to mention that.
Nice. It's like when you find out that Ocean Colour Scene never split up. It's like, it's nice that they still bother.
Yeah. Do you want to go and see them?
I think that's generous to Portsmouth. Connor Chaplin as well, just been given League Two goal of the weekend. It's got a beauty. Lofted it way up over the over a defender, and it came down with snow on it, and the keeper started to come out and he headed it over his head.
Yeah,
beautiful goal.
Nice. Well, are we step closer to the Donaldson Moore derby?
We are. Well, one would hope so. I think next season it'll be on League One. League One next season. You'll have Rafa Benitez in charge.
Yeah. We'll meet you in League One. Yeah. 3 points separates first and seventh, so League Two is the league to watch currently, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you're all doing
it. I actually agree with that.
if you like your points tallies
that's
close.
That's Marcus's personal view, that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Scottish Premiership.
Yeah, you talked disparagingly about Scotland, Peter.
Talk trash. Only because you weren't here.
All right.
Oh, you mean all
do you want,
that.
Do you want an email about it, actually?
Yeah, go on.
Should I stick in the email right now?
Yeah.
All right, this is from Finn. He says, I've been a Ramble fan for many a season and have tolerated near even oft time enjoyed Jim, Luke and Pete's callous disregard for the game north of the border, despite Marcus's valiant attempts to keep it on the running order most weeks. But last week was the last straw.
Oh, you're odd.
But last week was the last straw. I haven't listened to the preview show yet, so forgive me if this was addressed then, but I've got a genuine question for you lads. On a scale of Tesco club card points to Piers Morgan, just how little do the Ramble, minus Marcus, care about Scotland and Scottish football? Oh yeah, you're all about having a lovely old time, having a giggle at our glorious Scottish Cup first round team names, but as soon as we have a modicum of success at international level after a ref gives us a supremely questionable penalty and our best player scores a vintage cross-come-cross en route to a hat-trick and a comprehensive 5-1 mauling of Malta, you're having a dig. A definite early dig. I generally can't wait for us to go 100% Iceland on Big Sam's little slugs with no personalities at Wembley later this year. Alba Gubra, that's Gaelic for good day, sir. I said good day. Daft little podcast, silly banter, F off. Thank you very much, Finn, for that email.
It's a decent dig.
He's done well, hasn't he?
To clarify, I care 5 neeps.
And 7 tatties.
And look, how many battered miles balls do you care?
I've got a lot of affinity for Scotland.
Look at his little face. Look at his little caber tossing face.
I love a battered miles
ball. Stop making those gestures.
No, I'm not.
I love it too.
I've spent a lot of time there. And I'm historically from there. So
I got engaged in Scotland. I'm not sure Finn can say that. Mm. Yeah, well, so who's more Scottish?
Point, yeah.
Was his name Finn?
Finn.
Yeah, Finlay. Sure, Finlay.
What was his name? What clan was he in?
I don't know. We figured out that mine and your clan's quite close, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mine was in the sea.
We were either allies or mortal enemies.
Yeah.
Which was what we knew anyway.
This is the funny thing, though, because your names, or not more perhaps, but obviously Luke's got grandparentage from Scotland. Actually, none of my family are from Scotland. I just happened to live there for a long time.
My family from the Burns.
Immigrant, eh?
My family the Burns clan. Day. The Burns clan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was... Jim and I looked at it. I think Jim's family might have massacred mine at some point.
But we did do that.
Were they saying boo words at the time? Celtic beat Rangers 5-1 in the Old
Firm. This is a game packed full of incidents.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Very enjoyable.
Moussa Dembélé.
Yeah, what a tidy hat-trick. Brilliant.
That's class, that.
Yeah. Philippe Senderos getting sent off for a baffling decision really made me warm with nostalgia, I must say.
2 points, you won. That was a perfect hat-trick.
Yeah,
it was left foot, right foot header, and the Senderos
was
one
of the penalty.
No, it wasn't. Senderos was absolute shadow of the shadow of a man he once was. The sending off was delicious.
Yeah, like, so strange.
Quite early on, he realised this Dembélé guy is way too good.
Yeah,
and absolutely clattered him off the ball.
Yeah,
and then the second yellow, if anyone didn't see it, the ball went over his head. He just stuck his hand up.
Just stuck his hand up. Jumped a little bit. Stuck his hand out right in front of the referee.
Hang time.
If I don't do this, we're going to lose by even more.
It is delicious sendering off Senderos.
You've
had loads and I've had none.
I'm not saying you should stop it, I just said again.
Honestly.
Yes.
First hat-trick.
No one complains on Ethiopia, you know.
Oh, here we go.
Peter.
What?
Peter.
They had a terrible couple of decades and now they're doing better. Nobody complains about them, do they?
Peter.
What?
Thank you. First hat-trick in a league Old Firm game for 50 years.
No. Oh, wow.
In a league Old Firm game for 50
years.
I'm not sure, no, the way you've reacted to me, I'm not sure. No. But I'm fairly
Senderos
sure.
Been Senderos
I'm 50%
before.
Get your emails in.
Yeah.
Is Ethiopia doing okay?
An absolute burgeoning correction of clarification.
The mailbag. Oh. So should we start a new email inbox?
Luke at thefootballramble.com.
Was it the first hat-trick by a Dembélé? Because there's a lot of them in football these days in an Old Firm game.
It could have been that as well.
I think that's probably safe.
I read it was the first hat-trick in an Old Firm league derby for 50 years.
There you are.
I worry about Joey Barton's fitness because he's going to have to eat a lot of humble pie this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be overweight.
We got a good highlight of the week about that, actually. And normally we'll avoid those types of things.
Hang on, before we do that, can I just say that loss for Rangers meant that Hearts were up in second.
Oh, is it on again?
It's never off.
Well, the big story in Scotland will come in a minute, I think. But
thank you.
Before we move on from that, Michael Maguire, he's a regular highlight of the weeker. HOTW.
Yeah.
He says, my highlight was Scott Brown's epic post-match interview dig at Joey Barton. And normally we don't take sides in this sort of thing, but Joey Barton was saying before the week that Scott Brown wasn't in his class and all this other stuff.
Silly.
And Scott Brown said after the game finished, he was asked what he was saying to Joey Barton. He said, I'll just check to see if he was okay. And then Michal finishes by saying, when you're getting intellectual put-downs from Scott Brown, Jesus.
Yeah. Didn't Barton find a picture of Scott Brown in a Rangers top? back sure. in the day when he was a kid.
Yeah. This to me sounds like dangerous territory.
Oh, yeah. No, I did, I'm almost certain that happened, and that's why they're having a big
photoshopped
spat.
It.
But Spelzy, what was the big story from the Scottish football?
Cammy Bell.
It certainly was.
Canny Bell, more like. Dunfermline 1, Dundee United 3 in the Scottish Championship. Cammy Bell in goal for the Terrors saved 3 Dunfermline penalties
from 3 different takers.
Yes.
That's incredible. Oof.
That's that class,
is,
that.
That is brilliant.
I've never heard of 4 penalty saves in a game. There's, you know, I think it was in the BBC article, they then list a few others that there were 3 penalty saves here. And there was
I've got those here, but I remember a game between Brighton and Crystal Palace in the late 80s, I think it was. Ian Wright was playing up front and Mark Bright. Ian Wright scored a beautiful goal in that game. There were 5 penalties in that game.
But how many?
I think 3 might have been missed. Definitely 2.
Okay.
But according to the BBC website, Walter Scott of Grimsby Town in 1909 was the first goalkeeper to save 3 penalties in a game against Burnley. And then other goalkeepers to include defeat are Manchester United's Gary Bailey, who I just about remember, against Ipswich in 1980. But they still conceded 6 goals from open play anyway.
Yeah,
And Huddersfield Town's Matt Glennon, who saved 3 in a game against Crewe in 2007. The most penalties saved in a single season by a goalkeeper is 8 out of 10 by Paul Cooper of Ipswich Town.
Yeah.
That's amazing, really, 8 out of 10. And then apparently in international football, Brad Friedel has got the most penalty saves in open play, along with Jan Tomaszewski. I think is the guy that Brian Clough called a clown, the Polish goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They both scored twice. Both saved twice, apparently. But do you remember Steven Gerrard having 3 at Old Trafford for Liverpool a few years ago?
That's
the season
right.
Liverpool were really good.
Yeah.
And they almost, I think it was a season under Rodgers, where they almost won the league. Gerrard had 3 in one game, and he scored 2 of them, didn't he?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Penalty chat is the best.
It is, it is. Shall we do the highlights after the ad break?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365 out this Friday.
And every Friday.
Every Friday, absolutely. It's going to be a cracker, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it a Friday? Hashtag Ramble happening.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
It's accompanied by video as
yes,
well.
Every Friday morning we release a video on our YouTube channel. They're always lots of fun. So youtube.com/footballramble to subscribe. And do subscribe, because that means you get the video in your inbox, I suppose, every single week. This week, Jim and I did something about Manchester Derby haircuts.
Yeah. Yep.
Not sure what we're going to do this week. The next one, yeah. I don't really know. We haven't worked it out yet, but it'll be good.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be good.
So do subscribe at youtube.com/footballramble.
Were you guys sat on like a kind of...
on a roof, mate.
On a roof. It looked a bit dangerous.
Yeah, we're like extras.
Well, we're dangerous men.
We're like extras from the movie Grease. Edgy. Do you want to see... Listen, do you want to see footage of me and Jim sat on a roof? If you do, go to youtube.com/footballramble. Someone should have said at the start, really.
We like edgy men. We like dangerous men. That's why we still like Mario Balotelli.
Mm.
Come
on. He's had a good week.
Come on, he's back.
Two goals on his debut.
He's back in league.
First one was a penalty, which could have been saved.
Well, obviously.
No, it's very nonchalant.
On target, it could be saved.
It was people trying to put him off. He was very upset, and then he hammered the ball.
He said, going to Liverpool was the worst move I've ever made. He said that about every club.
He didn't actually say, the best thing he said about that was he said it was the worst decision I've ever made.
Bearing
in mind that he once went to John Lewis to buy an ironing board at the behest of his mum and came back with a trampoline and a scooter.
How tall is his mum?
How big is his telly? It's a poor decision in a whole raft of poor decisions.
I imagine the firework damaged bathroom probably has a few words to say about that man.
His second goal was a close range header, meat and drink to the lad, really.
Yeah, but he's there. He's among the goals. And I tell you, before the game, when they were shaking hands, you could see that look perhaps in his eye. And when he scored the penalty, the arms were up, and I thought, it would be great to see Balotelli get back to somewhere where we know that he can be.
Yeah.
You know what?
Surely. For three games.
For 3 months.
Nice beat Marseille 3-2. And in that game, Newcastle Hall of Famer Florian Thauvin scored.
Yeah, he did. Also, Bafétimbi Gomis scored a penalty. He did his stupid celebration in the net.
Yeah, sorry,
so disrespectful to the goalkeeper.
But to the home fans.
Like
in front of because Nice were at home, and he obviously plays for Marseille, and he did it in front of the home fans. It's a rubbish celebration anyway.
Terrible.
Needs to rethink it.
He does.
Certainly does.
A lot of rejects in that match.
Indeed.
Like the raggy dolls.
Lovely. You were also saying earlier that there's talk of PSG trying to sign Neymar for a ridiculous amount of money.
160 million.
Yeah.
No, Neymar's agent claimed this. A 650 grand a week.
I've subsequently learned that apparently Neymar is releasing a single.
Really?
I haven't heard it, but apparently it's coming out soon. I imagine it will be absolutely
brilliant, dreadful. Yeah. I will soon be full of money.
What sort of music do you think it's going to be? I think it'll be some sort of like bell funk slash hip hop.
Slash samba.
No, it'll be some sort of kind of housey, dancey.
I think Luke's probably...
It's going to have a hip hop element, surely. Surely we'll have a hip hop element to it.
We shall see.
We'll wait and see, yeah, exactly.
It'll be more towards the Ronaldinho school of thought rather than the Jimmy White school of thought.
I can see that.
Madrid.
Let's go to Argentina. Let's go straight down there. There's been some great happenings there. Boca Juniors were playing. Tevez had an interesting day at work on Sunday. Of course, my body double, Carlos Tevez, Luke.
Yep.
He's certainly is hairy.
100%.
No, I don't think he is, actually.
Yeah. No, he means you.
if you're fine. he scored, got booked, which seemed like a fair decision, and then got a second booking for saying to the ref, "Your sister's a whorish C word."
Bad.
Wow. Strong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
Jim, that'll do.
Even if it was that, that's still naughty.
When you wrote that down, Marcus, you used the possessive apostrophe sisters.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about a part of the... Yeah.
Copy and paste, mate.
Could be
Either way.
Copy and paste. And I copied and pasted that, but I won't say which publication from.
Sorry.
But they know what they've done.
I'm just going to Google that term.
Pete, as someone who's cast more than a careful eye over your particular chapters of the book that's out on October 20th, I am surprised, nay stunned, you are suddenly a bit particular about apostrophe now. Okay?
I mean, what I would say is that I didn't think that iron ironed out the bruises. Like a little baby iron.
Keep banging that drum. I'm bringing my own apostrophe S drum. Yeah. I'm bringing my own range of irons out also on October 20th as well. Free with every book.
Yeah.
Go to Amazon and buy it.
From Morphy Richards.
Yeah.
this whole show's effectively been our own corrections and clarifications.
We're doing essentially a radio show in which one presenter is picking up the other presenter's apostrophe use on a running order that the listeners can't even see.
Yeah. And then you haven't got my writing in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I very much enjoyed your chapter, actually. It says here.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, guys, I just want to allay any fears. It has been checked by people outside of the Ramble. Yeah. I wouldn't trust anyone in this room.
Much like your prostate, it has been checked.
It has been checked for any anomalies.
Yeah, for any apostrophes.
That wasn't an apostrophe, that was one of Roy's toys. A bit fell off it.
Roy apostrophe S toy.
Yeah. You could say it was a semicolon, of course. Danny Osvaldo has retired from football at the age of 30, the former Southampton man.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's not hugely surprising, though, knowing him, is it?
I should say why we're talking about Danny Osvaldo. He was last seen playing for Boca. He went down to Argentina, and he had a bust up with the manager after he was caught smoking in the bogs after a match. Mm. And he said he was finished with football to pursue a career in music.
He's quit football because he's in a strop about not being allowed to smoke in the toilet.
Yeah.
The old Chesney, as we came to
it. Unbelievable.
That old Chesnut.
What a bulletproof confidence he must have, though. Think, I'll just be a rock star now.
Well, he does have a band, I think. Pete finds that very amusing.
I just thought it was funny that you brought in the band.
We don't play them on Absolute Radio. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, hello.
Pete doesn't choose the music.
It's classic tracks in today's best music.
No. That's not the tagline.
Is it not?
What is it?
Absolute Radio.
No repeat guarantee, mate. No repeat guarantee.
That's one of the features upon which the Absolute... It's one of the pillars of Absolute Radio.
I don't listen.
It's where real music matters, so up yours.
That's right, yeah. I do actually listen to quite a lot to your shows. I think they're good, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you've texted me before to give you a shout out.
Yeah, I've texted you before.
I've given you a shout on air, and this is how you repay me and Absolute Radio.
Actually, if you want to go down that road, mister. I text you because you were making jokes about cars, and you can't even drive.
I was reading the Traffic and Travel out, because that's my job, and you were criticising me, saying that I shouldn't be allowed to do the Traffic and Travel.
Excuse the pardon. And we'll go further down this road. You read the Traffic and Travel, as you well know, and then you start making jokes about what it's like to drive through the Blackwall Tunnel, something you've never done.
I've got an Uber through a Blackwall Tunnel, so you can never get it through. There's always problems.
I've got an Uber.
He doesn't use Uber.
He's got you there.
Yeah, middle class. Was it an Uber exec?
It's cheaper than Alison Lee.
Was it an Uber exec?
Uber pool. I'm trying to make friends in the Uber pool.
What was I about to say, as opposed to Hartlepool?
The kiddie pool.
You've been watching Roy's Toys, haven't you?
What does that mean?
Rotching Roy's Toys.
It sounds like something Pete would be into that I don't understand.
Oh, dear.
Rotching with Pete Donaldson.
I was thinking when Marcus came back, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very sorry. Oh, let's finish the show. Or before we go on to the highlights. Juan Sebastian Verón update. Now, when I brought this to the table, I said that Verón would be playing... he came out of retirement at the age of 41 to play for a local amateur side, and I think, Luke, you said, it won't go anywhere, blah, blah, blah. He played and scored the only goal in a 1-0 win.
Nice.
Yeah, but I don't know how good they are.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
the state of the pitch and venue. I mean, it was bordering on Sunday League.
It was
I was sitting there going... I say sitting there, it was a clip on the internet. Wasn't watching the whole game. I was like, Verón's surely not playing in this.
Why do you think people don't sit down when they're watching the internet?
I was just suggesting that I was watching the whole game. There's no way that whole game was available.
Yeah.
But he scored. So well done him, and well done me. Let's have some emails and not all highlights.
Speaking of ramble mugs. Speaking of ramble mugs.
Just email us at once.
We didn't give a T-shirt away on Thursday, but we're not giving away a T-shirt to everyone. Just if we get an email we think it's good enough, then
we'll
give a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's fair.
We'll give out a mug this week to make up for not giving away a T-shirt on Thursday, or Friday, sorry. how about that? Oh, yeah, another thing, another correction to clarification, I should say.
Oh, God.
They're not mugs.
The only person in this room excused from this is Marcus Speller.
Hey,
Marcus,
why?
You want to get yourself a cup of tea, mate? You love yourself.
Ramble mug.
This won't take a while. that story I read about the man falling out the tree.
Oh, yeah.
That was from 2014, which is bad enough. But let me finish you. But we actually did it on this show, and none of us remembered.
Yeah, because I think it was...
Done it before.
You're on it.
Oh, what, we've done it before?
On the show.
Was it not me that said the story, maybe?
I can't remember, but the point is it was read out on this show of which we are all presenters.
Yeah.
So, apologies.
I'm glad people are keeping score.
Yeah. On that note, Germany beat Brazil 7-1.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Just to finish off by saying, apologies to everyone who was in some way put out by that. As part of their free podcast twice a week. anyway, highlights of the week. Matt Elm says, my highlight of the week was wondering just how many stupid questions it's going to take before Pep Guardiola punches Jeff Shreves in the face.
Good.
My answer to that is probably not too many more.
He's probably never experienced someone so Shrevesian.
No, he hasn't. Yeah. He probably thought if he had known that it was going to happen, he might not have done the deal to come here. Rusty Shackleford, apparently that's his real name.
Brilliant.
He says, Harry Redknapp having a sly dig at the Scottish Football League,
ooh,
saying it's amazing 60,000 will go to watch average players. Only for Michael Stewart, who I think is an ex-Hearts midfielder and obviously some sort of pundit, only for Michael Stewart to have a go back saying there's no average players in the Hearts versus Hamilton match, only good players.
Yes.
Get on that, Finn.
Yeah, take that.
Rusty says simultaneously bigging up the Gorgie boys while having a go at Redknapp. Perfection.
It's beautiful, that.
If there's anything going to guarantee inclusion in the Football Ramble, it's that, isn't it, really?
Corey Jensen says, I'm a teacher at high school in the US and school began a couple of weeks back. First realisation, Ricky Lambert is in my second class of the day, which is a great coincidence. A week after school began, I had a new student on my roster who Big Sam will soon make captain of England, Kevin Nolan. Neither of them like football, so my giddiness is entirely lost on them and the rest of the class. Chris Brain, my heart of the week is Gary Cahill tweeting his frustrations, including video clip, at the referee's decision to allow Swansea's goal to stand and then realising it probably wasn't a smart idea and deleting the tweet a whole 2 hours later. He has, at the time of writing this, 845,185 followers. Do you think anyone noticed?
Yeah, that's nice.
Ben Steele, who I think is friend of the Ramble, said Danny Rose was in the first edition of Metro's Team of the Week, despite not being in the squad. We talked about that. What else have we got here?
Can I have a highlight?
I've got one more.
Okay,
Alex Aldridge, the moment when I realised I could simply buy a Football Ramble mug instead of earning it with a highlight of the week, because if modern football has taught us nothing else, it's that money can more than make up for a lack of talent.
There you are.
You're not getting a mug for that, Alex.
And there's no value in the market.
Yeah, right.
I enjoyed David Moyes saying that I may be exaggerating, but if we had a top quality forward at Everton, we would have won the league.
Yeah.
Or we would have been certainly challenging. And of course, his Sunderland side played Everton tonight. Romelu Lukaku scored a hat-trick. There's your top quality forward, you
Fantastic. Have I got time for a email? Quick email?
Yeah, I think you do.
This is an email referencing the show late last week about Pete and his skill of handling gerbils.
Okay, yeah, cool.
You like that? Marcus, you heard that. You're up to speed. Good. This is from Christopher Penny.
I could have guessed it.
He says, hi guys. Having listened to and thoroughly enjoyed the preview show last Friday, I thought it only fair to leap to Pete's defence on the gerbil front at least. At the age of 8, I was similarly involved with gerbils.
Steady now, come on.
Well, I'm just reading it as it's written, mate.
Just said involved. Didn't say involved.
That's
like
a
that.
Funny term to use, isn't it?
Well, it seems to be. What's on your mind?
I will say the penny has dropped in this case.
You can't spell involved without the word in.
Well, it gets worse. Just down the road from me lived three brothers, each who had a gerbil.
One brother could tell the truth. The other could only tell lies. Yeah. And the other one put gerbils up his arse. That's what you're circling, you pervs.
That's the fourth paragraph of the email. He said
that's a yellow card.
If I may continue, just down the road from me, the three brothers, each other gerbil. Being 8, sleepovers were rife. I went over one weekend to stay with my friend Tom's brother, and we came to playing with the gerbils. You've ruined this now in your chat. He says, anyway, he's basically sticking out an olive branch to you here.
Right.
And you've literally shoved it back up his bum. He said, we were playing with the gerbils and all was going swimmingly until I lost what I deemed to be necessary control of one gerbil and immediately panicked, diving across the wooden floor, arm outstretched in a desperate attempt to save the gerbil from escaping.
It's like cricket.
Yeah.
Save it from escaping.
In short, my clutch was too firm.
Oh, no!
Yeah, you got sympathy for him now, haven't you? You're sticking
sympathy
like
for the
earlier.
Devil. The hamster devil.
And the gerbil in question went into cardiac arrest.
Oh, God.
The gerbil belonged to Tom, who came home from a sleepover of his own early that night in tears. Fast forward 10 years and I was delighted to have secured a work placement at a local firm in Bournemouth. I entered the office only to find out that Tom already worked there as a trainee. He was equally surprised to see me there. Chris, oh yeah, he killed my gerbil, he told the partner. 5 years later, we remain in touch, regularly revisiting Gerbil Gate as Tom kindly tells of all our mutual friends about my murderous tendencies. Tom's pretty chuffed now, though. To quote him, to be honest with you, mate, £5, some gerbil food and a 3D dinosaur puzzle seems like a great deal.
Yeah.
Presumably got that in compensation. He says, I haven't touched a gerbil since and can only admire Pete's delicate gerbil handling ability.
Oh, that's fantastic. To be fair, though, I can imagine Pete probably killed a lot more animals than he did in his youth. Yeah.
That'd be horrible.
That type.
I'm an animal lover.
So I suggest, for Philippa, to your defence, and in lieu of the fact that we didn't give out anything last week, we should give him a ramble mug.
We should.
Full of gerbils.
Christopher Penny. You can hold, you can keep, maybe fashion it upside down for a little gerbil house.
There we are.
I mean, poke some air holes,
so
isn't it?
Get in touch, Christopher Penny. Show at thefootballramble.com. I'll call you Chris, but we don't know each other, so I'll stick to Christopher because that's how you signed your name on.
That's right. Talked far more about gerbils than, you know, Barcelona losing. Real Madrid. Real Madrid with their 15th consecutive win in the league, which equals a club record.
I've got a theory on Barcelona losing.
Have you?
Yeah, because the Champions League starts on Tuesday, doesn't it? Yeah. So they get Arsenal a lot. Reality's dawned.
Yeah.
They're worried.
They're worried. They
is it like a pre,
gone to pot.
Pre-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah, absolutely. They're fearful.
Their league form has no impact on the Champions League form.
Well, wait.
Yeah, again, the joke's on you.
I've got a brief couple of highlights a week. I ran the line for half an hour at Sunday League.
You did?
For the weekend. I think it's a walk in something inside me. I enjoyed it. The authority, the flag.
You found your role.
The running on in a horizontal direction.
Did anyone give you pelters?
A couple of times.
Technically speaking, you always run horizontal on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I've not seen much vertical
not
running
from
in
a
my
bird's
time.
Eye view.
No, true.
Very much X-axis. Also, the Shearer statue, which is unveiled, he looked a bit weird.
He looks like the moulded head that spoke in Art Attack.
That's it, yeah.
And he's
that's
got one finger up, hasn't he? When he's celebrating, he's got one finger pointed up instead of the whole, instead of the open hand.
Disappointing for me, Clive.
Yeah. And finally, for now, kind of related. And you know, when we always mention the Championship, we always mention Newcastle. I don't want to do that, but it was quite funny at the Derby Newcastle match. Someone forgot to charge the substitutes board. So they had to get one in a taxi from Burton.
Did they really?
So they had to get one in a taxi. Could they not have waited?
No.
Could they not have just not brought anyone off?
Use your digits, mate. Yeah. Use your digits.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Excellent.
Lovely.
There we are. That's perfect. It. We're done. Remember, get all your goodies at the website, thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, that's, and the risk, in case you missed it last time, do subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/footballramble.
Plenty of... No, there's no gerbils on there. Maybe we'll do
not
a video
yet.
On gerbils.
Well, listen,
gerbil
yeah.
special.
The week is but young.
There we are.
Nobby Solano's gerbil special.
It's in the making.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
That's guinea pigs, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's good to be back, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it isn't.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen,
Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.